Judging apart. We believe that the good Lord put us out of the judging business long time ago when he said, judge not unless you want to be judged. Now, we're not always perfect, are we? Sometimes, you know, we slip and fall, but we try to get back up when we do and make it right. But there are some time-honored things that we need to just keep in mind. That when you shake somebody's hand, it's a sincere expression of care. When you say, how are you? It's not another way to say hello. But how are you? And if you'd like to stop and talk about how you are for a while, we'd be glad to do that too. Okay? It's a family. Sometimes families fuss a little, don't they? But they get over it sooner or later. And so we want you to feel welcome. Do you know what that J stands for in the middle of that brand back there? Jesus. Stands for Jesus. You know what that circle stands for? He's right in the middle of what we do. Okay? Can you remember that? You make up your own mind about what that bow-legged cowboy means, but he's part of it. So we just want to welcome you here. We want you to feel the warmth of the love that's in this place. We want you to understand that you are respected, and we hope that you'll respect others in return, okay? And we'll just do that till the Lord comes, won't we? And it's going to be good. Well, I've been trying to put together a series of messages that are designed to help us know God's ways, how he feels about things, and what he wants us to do. And it's taken a few different directions, and this morning we're going to come back to the 20th chapter of Exodus, and we're going to be looking at verse 20 when we get there. Chapter 20. Did I say verse? Sorry about that. You need to look for chapter 20, and we're going to begin at verse 7. And we're going to read all those verses again by way of review. It's been a while since we've been in this chapter of Exodus. And so it just simply says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, and the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And now we come to our text today. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Probably ought to read that one more time. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Heavenly Father, today, in Jesus' name, we ask you for an anointing as we teach your word. And we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will impart truth to hungry hearts and warning to sinful hearts. And, Lord, we pray for all the folks in this family who are experiencing illnesses of some kind. We just ask you to be close to them and return them to their health. And Lord, we love you that we can call on the name of the Lord Jesus to do this for us, because it's in his name that we do pray. Amen. Someone has well said that speech is an indication of character. Well, the powers that be in this country today are trying to tell us that character doesn't matter. What do you say?
Baloney.
Yeah, all right, I like that. That is baloney. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so you can tell what a person is by what they say. Socrates, when he first met somebody, would say, speak so I can see you. Now, he wasn't blind. He just wanted to see what came out of their heart. Because what's on the inside comes out, and our speech reveals our character. Out in the country, they used to say, what's down in the well is what comes up in the bucket. And we can understand that, can't we? Well, I think that's particularly true of the way we talk about God. I believe I could say this. You show me how you use the name of God, and I'll probably be able to tell you some things about your character. So here, this particular scripture deals with the misuse and the abuse of the name of God. Well, we're going to approach this under two headings this morning. First one is the abuse of the name, that is, taking the name in vain. But then secondly, the use of the name, taking that name in victory. Now, let me tell you this. Everybody, when they use the name of the Lord, either misuse it or they use it in victory. One or the other when we use the name of the Lord. What am I talking about here to start with? I'm talking about cussing, just in case some of you are having a hard time understanding. Okay? Somehow or other, we've kind of got to the point where we think as young men and women that it's pretty adult and grown up and mature to cuss. Hey, kids, I can remember when I was in the third grade standing around saying words I didn't even know what they meant and feeling big and grown up because I was saying those words. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to try to teach you this morning what I was really doing, me and the group of kids that I run around with. Now, don't look at me so holy. I know better. I do. I know better. And I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. That's all I can do, isn't it? I'm going to tell you what it does, and I'm going to encourage you, you know, to hear what it says and to do that. Listen, we abuse the name of God. I suppose the biggest way that we abuse the name of God is through profanity. That's cussing. Okay? That's how we do it. All sins are terrible in God's sight, and they are terrible. But I'm afraid that in this particular nation, and maybe around the world, I don't know, I hadn't been around it in a while, that there is this terrible sin of profanity, cussing. Used to just be men had to be called down for their cussing. Don't talk like that around a woman. Don't talk like that around my children. You know, and they would be properly, most of the time, be properly abashed and stop it. But today, it comes right into your living room and just a steady flow of things, and it's almost become a part of our language that everybody uses, from little children to old folks. Let's find out what God thinks about that. Are you interested? Huh? How does God feel about that? Because, you see, when the smoke all clears, it's all going to matter what God feels about it anyway, isn't it? Okay. Cussing. I don't know any way to tell anybody these things, but just straight out, all right? I'm not going to put any sugar on it. I'm just going to tell you how it is. Cussing shows at the same time an empty head and a wicked heart. An empty head and a wicked heart. You teenage boys listening to me? I hope you are, because it can help you this morning, you know, to do a little better. Cussing, I'm not going to say profanity. I'm not even going to say taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm just going to call it cussing, because that's what it is. Cussing, the Bible says God will not hold him guilty that takes his name in vain. Who said that? God did. He said, I'm not going to hold you innocent. You will be guilty if you take my name in vain. So what does profanity show about a person? When a person cusses, what does it show about them? I'm going to try to mention several things to you this morning that I've taken notes on through the years and try to pass them along to you because they've really affected my own life. And it shows that several things that a man or a woman or in these days a child, actions speak louder than words. Well, that's what it shows. I didn't mean anything by it. I mean, you ever heard that? All of you or none of you? What? Oh, okay, you've heard that. I didn't mean anything by that. Now listen. Here's a person who has taken the name that's above every name, the name of God Almighty, the name by which blind have been made to see, deaf have been made to hear, dead have been raised to life, and that name by which we are saved. Let me remind you of a scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they take the name of Jesus in vain and then say, I didn't mean anything by it. If you've done that, let me tell you, you're condemned in your own court. You are. What you're saying is, look, God's meaningless to me. He's just meaningless to me. I can take his name in vain and not mean anything by it. God means no more to me than a mangy dog. Well, the word vain means empty, means worthless, means of no use. So what does it show about a person? Number one, it shows a contempt for God. Y'all got that? Contempt. But the second thing it does is it shows rebellion against God. How many rebels have we got in here today? Watch out, loaded question. I know people who are proud of the fact that they're a rebel. It's witchcraft. The sin of rebellion is like witchcraft. If I might want to rebel about some things going on government-wise or otherwise or moral-wise, but I want to tell you one thing. I'm not going to be over in the rebellious line against God. I don't want to be there. I don't think you want to be there either. Exodus 27, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not. You shall not. You shall not. You shan't do it. That's a black print on white paper, isn't it? I mean, what kind of an explanation do you have to give about that? I mean, it's just there for everybody to see. When a guy says or a girl says, I know what you said, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you know what you're doing? Shaking your fist in the face of Almighty God and saying, I'm just going to do it however I want to. And you're just spitting in God's face. Now, I'm just trying to tell you how God feels about this. Okay? It not only shows that you have contempt for God, but it also shows an arrogant, rebellious spirit against God. Now, this might be kind of strong, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. When we curse, it reveals that our character is rotten, nasty, poor, and bad because we take the name of a holy God in vain. It's an old evangelist another year by the name of Sam Jones, and he used to say this. He said, when I hear a man cuss and swear, I take hold of my pocketbook, because any man who will swear will probably steal too. And so it just shows the character, the rotten character that we have. It shows that we don't care for the laws of God. Something bad in there. Well, I just curse a little. You might as well say, well, I just commit adultery a little. I just murder a little. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because the one the law that tells you not to do the one also tells you not to do the other. Amen? Amen. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, I think it's far worse to kill a man than to curse his maker. Well, folks, listen, that's what mankind would like to say. But it simply shows that as a person, we have more value for the person than we have for the God who made the person. Is that right? Is that the way it should be? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Questionable character. Also shows a complete lack of understanding. Heard a good description. It says, cussing is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcibly. You know, that's very true. That's what we're trying to do when we cuss. And parenthetically, sometimes even believers fall into that particular trap. I had an English professor in college that really handed me my head on a platter one day when she explained that there was such a thing as secondhand cussing. Y'all know what secondhand cussing is? Huh? Well, we have these little euphemistic statements that guilty. I'm telling you right now before we get started, okay? But I have said before the Lord, I'm going to cut this out. All right? Stuff like golly, gee whiz, gosh darn, heck. These are all just simply ways of secondhand cussing. I'm going to tell you what, I challenge you, get Webster's Dictionary, and you look those words up and see what it tells you. The dictionary says, gee, is a euphemism for God. Jesus, sorry. Golly is a euphemism for God. Gosh is a substitute for God. Darn, darned, and dang are colloquial euphemisms for damn, damned, and damnation. We might be a little surprised when we find out when we've said, gosh darned, what we just said. You with me? Who are we talking about? We're talking about a relationship to a holy God who owns our very breath and who shed his own blood so that we can have eternal life. We're talking about how we relate to him, aren't we? And what he thinks about this. Says won't hold us guilty that takes his name in vain. So it shows a lack of understanding and the lack of a person to express himself in the way he needs to express himself. It also shows hatred for one's fellow man. Because, folks, we do this. We curse and damn our fellow man. They do it on TV all the time, don't they? They question their heritage all the time on television, don't they? And more and more and more and more. You see, give them an inch, and they've taken a mile, and now it's just kind of common to us, isn't it? And so we're growing up with that, and we think, well, that's the way people talk. Look here. That's not the way people talk who belong to the Lord. That's not the way. That's the way the world talks. That's all it is. And we don't need it. Okay? Shows hatred for a fellow man. When somebody says to you, "Damn you," what are they saying? Overlooking the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died in agony and in blood on that cross to save that person from hell, that becomes a very wicked and profane thought that one would say to another, "Go to hell." Follow me? Oh, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, we already dealt with that, didn't we? Okay. Don't you think it's about time that the Christians of this world stood up and told the world to go to heaven? Huh? And tell them how to get there. That one person would have the unmitigated gall to look at another person and to pronounce such a curse on them, that God would damn them, that God would consign them to hell. Folks, that's just hatred, whether we realize it or not. It also shows such a warped concept of God. When you ask God to damn someone, you are asking God to do something He has never done, nor will He ever do. God has never damned anyone. People damn themselves. Amen? Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's exactly right. So if a person is damned, it's because that person has committed moral and spiritual suicide, turned his back on God, rebelled against God, and what it shows about us, if we say those things, is a complete lack of understanding of Almighty God. Okay? Profanity, cussing, is both wicked and foolish. Now, I'm not going to try to justify sins, all right? You know I wouldn't do that, don't you? But when a person sins in some other realm, at least you get something in return. If, not justifying sin, if you steal, you get what you stole. If you commit adultery, you satisfy your lust. When you commit murder, you may satisfy revenge, so you think. But what do you get when you curse it, when you curse? I just read it to you. Judgment. That's all you get, judgment. Judgment. Oh, God will overlook me. You really think so? Is that your story? God's going to overlook me? Has He been? No. Just get judgment. So that makes it a fool's sin. Does it not? Makes it a fool's sin. Kind of like a fish biting a hook that doesn't have any bait on it. When a fish bites a baited hook, at least it gets a mouthful of worm. But what if there's no bait on the hook? What particle of good has profanity or cussing ever produced? It just shows how black and wicked the heart of a person is who will profane his Maker for no reason under the sun, except that his heart is wicked. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, that's the misuse of the name of God. Through profanity. There's another way we do that too, and that's through frivolity. You know, that's by making light of the sacred and holy things. I've been guilty of that too, and I confess it, and I've told the Lord I'm not going to do that anymore. Telling heaven jokes, telling hell jokes, things like that, you know, just these are very serious matters. And the Lord doesn't want us taking them that lightly. Now, look, understand something. I really believe in humor. I may not be being very humorous at the moment, but I believe that humor is one of God's gifts to humanity. Humor is. I believe that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And I believe that many, many times humor has a way of making a point in a message, and I don't mind using it like that. Humor is a figure of speech. It's a way of speaking, like pathos is a way of speaking. But what I'm talking about is pointless, needless humor, frivolity, joking, laughing, singing, or whatever about God that's not done with the proper reference for God. Here's one of the things. Jesus said in Matthew 6:7, but when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. See, what we're talking about here, you ever rattled off a prayer? You know, just rattled her off? And you didn't think about the God that you were praying to? Now, let me make this point with you. The Bible makes it very clear that we're not to say prayers, we are to pray prayers. When you pray, there's somebody on the other end listening that can do something about the need, right? And so we pray those prayers. The Tibetans have this little thing they call a prayer wheel. You know what I'm talking about there? They put a little wheel on top of a stick, and they put whatever it is they want to tell their God on that little wheel, and they spin it round and round. And so, like radio waves go out into the air, so those prayers are supposed to be going out into the air to their God. Would it surprise you for me to say I know some Christians like that? That's kind of how they pray. That's how they approach it. Just that the wheels are only in their heads. So vain repetition. Back to the scripture, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So vain professions, vain prayers, vain praises. I was thinking a while ago, we were singing a really nice song, and I was just singing the words. But my mind was gathering wool about something else. That's a pretty good definition of vain, you know, not even giving it any thought. It's supposed to be praising the Almighty, and the mouth is, but the heart wasn't in it. But that's what we're talking about here, folks. You can stand with a hymnal when we used to use those in your hand, and your eyes see every word on that in that song, but you don't remember what you sang. See, vain. Because we used to sing stuff like this. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the folly of sin, I resign. So do we really mean it when we sing things like that? Or I turn from everything I know to be wrong because, Jesus, you're more to me than anything else. Do we really mean that? We ought to question ourselves about what we're doing here. We'll stand and sing, I surrender all. All to thee, I surrender. We sing those things. And then what do? We walk out that door and all we live for is self and self alone as though Christ had never lived. We sing, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. But then we hold it with all our might, don't we? All right, here's the scripture that backs all this up. Ephesians 5:4. Paul says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Jesus taught us that we're to pray, hallowed be thy name. So we have to ask, do we really revere the name of Jesus? Do we hallow the name of Almighty God? Are we using that name in a flippant, careless, sacrilegious way? Maybe not guilty of cussing, but guilty of frivolity in the presence of God. Is this too serious for you? Is this calling us to be too serious with God? Or is there some truth in what I'm saying? Okay. You know, the folks that used to copy the scriptures, the old scribes, when they came to a name of God or the word God itself, they would stop, change into fresh clothes, bathe, change into fresh clothes, take a new pen, and then write that name. And they would leave one letter out of it. They still do that to this day. If a scribe is writing the name, just the word God, leaves the O out and just puts G-God in there because they hold that name in such reverence. Shouldn't we do that too? Shouldn't that be a trademark of God's people to do that? You see, it might surprise you that I know this, but I know what OMG stands for in texting. I do. And it's frivolous. It's a very frivolous thing. And it's nothing that honors Almighty God. Now, I think there are exceptions to that. I know one time I got to go over to Orla, Texas. Anybody know where Orla is? To Supply. It used to be a Baptist church there. I don't know if it's the one there now or not. It may be long gone. Went over there to Supply with another guy. My mother went with us on that day. After the service, we went to Carlsbad and got lunch. We're coming back to the church. I'm driving. Friend's over here. She's in the back seat. I come over a little rise in the road, and they're driving a herd of cattle across the highway. No fences in there, you know. Bunch of cattle. And so it got interested inside the car. I'm showering down on the brakes. This guy over here is turning white, and my mother in the back seat is saying, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God." Well, I got the thing stopped without killing any cows or us. I got my breath, and I said to my mother, "Mom, you shouldn't talk like that." She said, "Son, I was praying." And you know what? I believe that's exactly what she was doing. She was praying. Let me mention the third thing. It's just the sin, had the sin of profanity and frivolity. And then there's hypocrisy, taking God's name in vain. Now, I just want to read you this scripture on that. Isaiah 48:1 says, "Hear this, house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and who come forth out of the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth and righteousness." They swear by the name of God, they mention his name, but they do not do it in truth and righteousness. So hypocritical professions, somebody to say they're a believer and they're not is a hypocritical profession. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. We call people Christians because Christ, and we want to be like him. And so vain prayers is another way. So how do we take the Lord's name in vain? Well, we do it through profanity, cussing. We do it through frivolity, and we do it through hypocrisy. In Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me." Okay, enough said on that subject. Let's turn our thinking for just a moment about the use of the name in victory. Because I've told you before, every time there's a negative commandment, it implies a positive commandment, right? If I say, "Don't stay outside," what does that mean? It means come inside, you see, so there's a positive reaction to it. So when the Bible says, "Don't take the name of God in vain," it is implying that if you're not abusing that name, that you ought to use the name, but you ought to use it in the right way. So I want us to think for just a moment about how do you do that, okay? How do you use the name of the Lord in the right way? We ought to use the name in victory, for example, when we get saved. When we get saved. You see, the angel announced to Mary, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So when you call on that name, the Bible says you will be saved. Acts 4:12, I remind you, says, neither is there salvation any other, for there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ever wonder why it didn't just say, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved? It doesn't say that. It says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me try to tell you why. Because there are so many false gods in this world. Always have been. And they can continue to grow at a very rapid rate. False messiahs in this old world we live in today. I don't fly much anymore, but used to go out to the airport and there'd be a bunch of guys standing around in costumes called Hare Krishnas. Y'all remember those? I don't know if they're still out in those places or not. And there used to be a group standing on the street corners in some cities. I don't know where they are or not either. But they were called Moonies, sow flowers on the corners. Delighted in making a beeline to one of those birds and tapping them on the shoulder and letting them look me right in the eye and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Made their day. Boy, let me tell you, He is Lord. It is the Lord Jesus, because it says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. There really is something about that name. Fits good in your mouth, doesn't it? Jesus. See, that's the last name that's given to deity in Scripture. Jesus. Yeah. And God has compressed the sweetest and the most powerful word that human lips can utter. Jesus. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The guy was talking to his lawyer one day, and finally he said to the lawyer, you know, there's something I've been wanting to ask you, but I've been afraid to. And the lawyer said, well, don't be afraid. So the man said, okay, I wanted to ask you, why are you not a Christian? Lawyer said, well, isn't there something in the Bible that says that no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of heaven? And you know, I have that problem. You know what a slave I am to drink. The man said, I did not ask you about your drink. I ask you why you're not a Christian. That lawyer said, well, I don't think I ever even knew how to be a Christian, since you put it like that. The guy had a pocket New Testament, took it out, and showed the man from Scripture how he could be saved. And that brilliant, well-trained man, when he understood the plan of salvation, knelt down and prayed and called on the name of the Lord. Now, later on, years later, he was writing about that experience and he said, let me tell you this. He said, that day, Jesus Christ saved me and the power of drink was instantly broken in my life. You know who that lawyer was? Well, you may not, but his name was C.I. Schofield, who edited the Schofield Reference Bible. I used to have one that I preached out of all the time, wore it completely out, and went to another. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that whatever we do in word or in deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father by him. Whatever we do, we're to do in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus said in John, the 16th chapter, up to now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall be received. You shall receive. Did you hear that part about in my name? Did you hear that? You see, there's power in that name. Power. What does it mean to live in the name of Jesus. Okay, it means to walk, to teach, to love, to preach, to serve. All of that in his authority. Name, the name, your name, means authority. When you sign a check, you are giving authority for money to be taken out of your account. When you put your name on a contract or some such thing, you're placing your authority there in that name. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, that doesn't just mean for us to say in Jesus' name and tack it on the end, although it's very fitting that we should always close our prayers in Jesus' name, but primarily that's not what it means. Now listen, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Of course we're to pray in Jesus' name. But it takes more than to simply say in Jesus' name. Because you see, we're trying to pray a prayer that has authority. And if we have that kind of authority, we are exercising the power of attorney using Jesus' name. Whatever it is we're signing his name to, we are saying this represents Jesus. Not only with his authority, but also for his approval. You see, his name stands for the greatest character that there could be in the universe. Somebody says, Dave Adkins. And so you think of a character. Hush, Pat. I understand. It's okay. We got it, okay? But a name stands for character, moral fiber, what we are. That's the reason that the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So when I live in the name of Jesus, that means that my life is to be in keeping with the character of Jesus. Here, years ago, this thing went around, what would Jesus do? Remember all that? You know where that came from? It came out of a book that a man wrote by the name of Shelton, in which he persuaded some people, but before they did anything, they'd ask themselves the question, what would Jesus do? And as best as they could, they would do it that way. That's where it came from. It was quite a hit for a long time. We want Jesus to be able to say when we put his name on something, I'm pleased with that. That is in keeping with my character. So we're to serve in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you flat out this morning, it has become such a joy to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. It is just a joy to do so. And I want you to know that I am preaching in the authority of Jesus' name. There are folks who come and have come, you know, in times past like this. Well, I'm going to go listen to that guy and see if I agree with him or not. Well, you know what? That's not even the issue. You're looking at the messenger boy. That's all you're looking at. Now, I want you to understand this. If I start not preaching the Bible, then you've got every right in the world to come up and argue with me about that, you see. But when I'm preaching the Word of God, guess who you're going to have to take it up with if you don't agree? Good luck with that. You got to take that up with God. See, I'm not going to get a contest with you about that sort of thing where you say, well, now I've heard what he thinks, now here's what I think. I'm telling you right now, I'm not preaching in my authority. I could not preach in my authority in the first place, but I am here as an ambassador for Christ, preaching the Word of God in the authority of Christ, and I say to you, that's not arrogance. That's just plain common sense. That's all it is. Jesus said, you go and make disciples and I will be with you even until the end of the age. And he's given that authority to every believer. So, folks, we are to live, to serve in the name of Jesus. That's using it in victory. Do it for his glory. Now, let me just share this with you. What I desire more than anything else at this particular time in my life in preaching God's Word is that when somebody comes to hear me preach and they go out the door, I don't want them to say, "Boy, that's a good preacher." I don't want them to say that. I want them to say, "Man, what a Savior. What a Savior." That's my goal. That's my desire, to live in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, wherever you go. So we're to be saved by the name of Jesus. We're to serve in the name of Jesus, because there's power in that name. There is power that causes the demons in hell to cringe. And not only are we to serve in that name, but we are secure in the name of Jesus. His mantle is on us. His authority takes care of us. His power looks after us. See, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Security in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. What are you practicing? You practice using that name in vain? Or do you use that name in victory? Do you abuse the name, or do you use the name? Well, let me ask you a more important question. You saved? Really? Absolutely? Surely? Saved? Going to heaven when you die? Trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you praying in the authority of the name of Jesus? When you serve, are you serving in the power of Jesus' name? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and is safe. The wife of William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, told a story about a man who's on his deathbed. And the family lawyer said to the family, "You know, I've got some very important papers that the man needs to sign. If he can sign them before he dies, it'll save a lot of time and a lot of work." But he was extremely weak and feeble at that time. He'd been a man who'd been living for God most of his life, you know. And so they brought those legal papers into where he was, to his bed. And his wife said something like this to him: "Daddy, it sure would help us if you'd just sign this for us, if you would please, just sign this paper." The old man lifted the pen and he signed. But later, when they looked at the paper, they were amazed to see what he had written there was Jesus. It was Jesus. See, the only name that meant anything to him at that time was Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. When that time comes and you put your feet down in the valley of the shadow of death, there's not any legal thing on this earth. There's not any wealth on this earth. There's not going to be anything on this earth that will mean anything to you except whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's simply going to be it. There is one name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things under earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let's make it our life's work to take that name in victory. And if we have trouble with cussing, why don't we just ask God to take it away from us? Why don't we do that? Heavenly Father, I just want to ask you now to take the words that you've shared with us through your word and write them in our hearts. Challenge us with the truth that's there. Lord, we are seeking to know you better. Lord, we're seeking to know your way. You invited us in your word to seek you while you may be found. And so, Lord, we're doing that. And we want to know how you feel about things and how you want us to feel about things. And so thank you for your word today. May we take it to heart and use it to your glory. Now, Lord, I pray for folks who need to receive Christ as their Savior, that in this very service, they'd take that step. And we'll give you the praise for all of that. And you know, Lord, we pray in the strong and the powerful and authoritative name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's... let's make sure everybody in here is saved today, can we? If there's any question in your mind, or if you've never come to the place where you'd like to accept Christ as your Savior, now you have an opportunity. Now, don't worry. We're not going to come and make you embarrassed or make you do anything you don't want to do. But what we are going to do as a congregation, because we believe in it so strongly, is we're just going to all pray out loud and ask the Lord to come into our hearts. I don't know how many times we've done this in the last 7 or 8 years, but it's been every Sunday, you know. And folks have gotten saved, and they'll continue to get saved. And we're going to continue to help you. Isn't that right, church? Amen. All right, so we're going to pray out loud. And you pray out loud with us, but would you direct your thinking to Almighty God? We're not just saying words now. We're talking to God, and He's made promises. And what He's done for others, like we heard last week, He'll do for you too, okay? All right. Y'all join with me, would you? Heavenly Father, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Just that simple, folks. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you do something for me, please? All of you folks, why don't you find one of these little green... You see one in front of you? See one of these? Everybody see it? Okay. Well, pick one up so everybody can see there is one. Might be somebody next to you that needs to know where one is. Do you see? Okay. What I want you to do if you prayed that prayer for the first time is what it says on here. Date it. Put the date on there, your name. Your birthday's okay if you want to do that. But down here at the bottom, I want you to check. I prayed the prayer for the first time to accept Jesus as my Savior. And the second one, I want you to check is I'd like to talk with the pastor. Just those two. Lay it on the seat beside you. We'll pick it up after the service, and we will be in touch with you during this next week. Just that simple. That's all we ask you to do. If you want to join Circle J, you can use the same thing. Just check the block that says, I'd like to join Circle J Cowboy Church. Or if you have other decisions that you'd like to make, fill it out. Leave it on the seat. Got it? If you want to, I'll be up here after the service, and you can just come hand it to me in person. Save me a phone call. We'll get to talk right then, won't we? So, come and do that, would you? Now, you guys who are on the leadership team here at Circle J, I want to start a series of regular meetings with you each month. And I think that we will probably meet on the last Sunday of each month at 9 o'clock in the mornings. Let me go over that again. The last Sunday of the month, 9 o'clock in the morning. The last Sunday of this month is the 31st. Can you get that on your calendar, guys? We got some things we just need to do. And so I hope you'll come and be a part of that. Gentlemen, starting in February, the first Saturday in February, we will resume our breakfasts, fellowship breakfast, at the Golden Corral, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to try to remind you every Sunday before that. So we might have a big crowd of you guys show up. What is it, 8 and a half? for all you can eat, something like that. And it is a Dutch treat, so come, but we'll have good fellowship together, right? Invite you to come and do that. Also want to tell you, all of you folks, that on Sunday evening, February the 7th, we are going to have a Super Bowl party right here at Circle J. Good food. I hope a good ball game. But it'll be a good time. We would like for you to invite your friends to come. It's going to be on that big screen right up there. Okay? And it'll be something to behold. So invite your lost friends, invite your friends that aren't going to church, whatever you guys want to do, and you gals, y'all come and be a part of it. Be finger foods, stuff, you know, be good. Looking forward to it. Get it on your calendar, would you? Amen. What did I leave out? That got it? Oh. Oh, yeah, church tonight. Hope you'll come. Y'all have to put up with me tonight. Eric's job is going to take him out of town. And we'll be back here amongst the tables and what have you. But I would like to talk to you tonight about a fellow by the name of Enoch. E-N-O-C-H. Enoch. Poor old Enoch only lived to be 365 years old. He was a kid, you know, when he died, really, in his age. So I'd like to talk to you about him and what some of the things we can point out about his life. Okay? Would you? All right, let's stand. Are you glad you came to the Lord's house this morning?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Come back again tonight and Wednesday night. Don't forget, I wish some of you would get in the habit of coming and helping us pray on Wednesday night. I wish you would. That'd be a great thing. And so I invite you to come as well. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go home. Heavenly Father. No, I'm going to pray this one by myself. That is so cute. That is so cute. I got to put that in my notes. I'm going to write a book one of these days, and that's going to be in there. I'll tell you, that is one. I love you guys. All right, now watch out. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege of being in your family together. In your presence. Thank you for your sweet word. Thank you, Father, for all you do for us and all you have planned for us. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes when the news of this life just kind of knocks us down, that we know there's a God who's in charge and we can run to you. And thank you for that. Now, Father, bless these folks as they go to their homes and keep them safe. Bring us back together. Again tonight, that we might discuss your word. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to join the church.
Well, I'd like to talk to you in a minute, okay?